Begin the current daf in Sechti Ksubas daf Peihei. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf. And that is, in the previous daf we had been discussing regarding the Nichsi Yisayimim, the properties of the orphans, regarding others being typhus, that they can grab it for themselves, and we said it depends, according to different opinions, if it was Michaim, or if it was Lachamisa, if it was Bershusa Yisayimim, if it was in different domains. So the Gemara continues in a related discussion of being typhus, of grabbing something regarding a debt. So the Gemara brings the following incident. Avimi Bereder Bevo have a maski Beizuzi. He had creditors from Beichazoi. The people from that place were, he owed money to them. So Shadrinu Biyad Chama Bereder Rabba Barvu. So he went and he sent the money that he owed them in the hand of Chama, the son of Rabba Barvu. He went and he paid them. So Amlahu, now the Shliach, which was Chama, said to the creditors that he paid them up. So Havalishtar, give me the document, which is the deed that the one who sent me, which was Avimi, that he owes you the money. Give me the document now that I paid you up. So Amalei, they said to him, no, Sitro Nino. That which you paid us up, that was for a different debt. There was two debts that he owed us. One is the one that's written in the document. Another one was what's called a milva pem. It was a loan that was done orally, which wasn't written in a document. It's for that loan that we're going to be typhus. We're going to hold on to that money for that. And there's still an outstanding debt that we have a deed to prove that he owes us money. So Asla came to Bavo. So now he paid it up, but he didn't have the document. So they still had proof that Avimi owed them money. So the Shliach, Asla Kamei Rebavo, came in front of Rebavo. So he said to him, Islach Sahadi de Parasinu, do you have witnesses at least that witnessed your paying up the creditors? So Amalei says, no. So Amalei, so he said to him, Migudi Chayin Loimra, Lohoy Dvarmi Oilam, since they could have said a better taina, a better claim, which is what's called Migui sins, they could have said what's known as Lahadam, that which is the acronym of Lohoy Dvarm Oilam, that this never happened, meaning you never paid them up, because you don't have witnesses to verify that. So they also now could boost the claim that they are making, which is they're saying you paid us. But there was other debt, which is the debt of the Milva Peh, that's what it was paid up for, and not for the Milva Bishtar, and therefore they could still hold on to the Milva Bishtar, and they could go ahead and collect from him again. Now the Gemara wonders, based on this, L'inyin Shlumei Shliach. So now, regarding the requirement of the messenger, to which was, in this case, Chama, regarding compensation of the one who sent him, which was Avimi. My, what's the halacha? Do we consider the messenger negligent that he gave back the money before he got the document, or not? So Amar Vashi says, Chazina, let's see. If the one who sent him had said in this phraseology, take the document and then give them the money, well, the Mashalmi has to pay. It was his negligence. He was told first to get the document and then pay. Have Zuze Ushkol Shtar, but if he told him, give the money and then take your document, then Loi Mashalmi doesn't have to pay, because that's exactly what he did. He gave the money and then he went to get the document and then they refused to, because they claimed it was for the Milva Peh, not the Milva Bishtar. But over the Gemara concludes not like what Rav Ashi said. Wallahi, it's not really true. Benkach u'benkach mishalim. Actually, in both phraseologies, either way, the shliach would have to compensate the one who sent him, because now he lost the money, because the document is still valid that could be collected from him. And the reason why he has to compensate him is the amalek, because the mashalech could tell the shliach, l'skuni shadartich, what I send you for, to help me out, v'loy la'avasi, not to make things worse for me. And essentially what that means is to say that you should have been precise in making sure that the result is a good outcome. And you didn't, because now I lost all that money, because I'm not going to be able to even get the document they can still collect from me again, and therefore it's his fault that he wasn't meticulous in his mission, and therefore he has to compensate the Mishalech. I think we're going to continue to another incident relating to this discussion. Hai Itza. There was a woman that was deposited by her from the father of who are now orphans, which was a sack, a container full of documents, full of deeds. So also Yershim Kartavu Limina, now that their father had died. So the orphans came to collect it from her to say, these are our documents, which are deeds that we could collect money with. So Amlahu, she said to them, Mechayim Tefis Nalahu. there was money that was owed to me by your father, and when your father was still alive, I already grabbed it. And this is related to the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara concluded from Rav Nachman that the Hapsak Halach is like Rabbi Kiva, which is that Rabbi Kiva holds that one cannot be typhus from the Yisayimim after the father had died. It's only if they had been typhus when the father was still alive, then they could hold on to it, even though it's metatlam, which generally is not meshubid, that from the nechasim of the Yisayimim, but if it was grabbed Michayim, they could hold on to it. So the one was saying, when your father was still alive, these documents, which are worth a certain amount of money, I had already grabbed for myself because he owed me money, which he didn't pay me. So therefore, I could hold on to it now, even though he's dead. So I saw the kamei to Rav Nachman. So they came in front of Rav Nachman. So Amallah, he said to her, Islach sahadi ditavua minach michaim. Do you have witnesses that could testify that the father claimed these documents from you when he was still alive? V'lo yahaves na'alei, and you didn't give it to him? Which that would illustrate a tfisa. Because if the father's claiming and you're not giving it, that's obviously saying that I'm taking it for myself. So she said to him, no, I don't have witnesses that could verify that the father had claimed it from me and I didn't give it to him. So Rav Nachman said, Imkin, if that's the case, have a tfisa de la achar misam. That means essentially that you're grabbing it, you're holding on to these documents, only happened after he died. And the reason being is because as long as the father was alive, so these documents were a deposit. They were deposited by you, by the father. So essentially, it's like in his domain, because it's really his. It's just a bekadim by you. And that is this that we said on the previous daf, and that we passed on the top of this amud from Rav Nachman, like Rabbi Kiva, that it only works if you were Tevis and Michaim. That's, for example, let's say someone sees that the one that owes the money is about to die, and then goes and grabs movable items from that person's domain for the debt that's owed to them. But not something that's a pekadin, because a pekadin that was deposited, you can't grab it. As long as the person deposited by you, it's really that person's. And therefore, so essentially what you're doing is you're only holding on to it after the father had died. Once he's dead, it's not a deposit. It's now the Yerushim want to collect it. Now that means to say, but you're not giving it to them, now you're holding on to it. Now that's already lachar misa, these metatlin, these movable items, specifically in this case, ishtaris, one cannot be taivisid from the yisayimim, achar misa zavim. And therefore she had to give it back to them. Another story with hahi itza. There was an incident with a woman, the chai v'shvua beidina de rava, that she was obligated in an oath in the courts of rava, and the reason being is because a person claimed her that she owed him money, and she denied it. So there's an obligation of a shvua. So that she has to swear that she doesn't owe the person money. So Amr le bas Rav Chizda, so the daughter of Rav Chizda, who was the wife of Rava, said to Rava, Yidana ba de chashuda shvua. I know that this woman is she's not a trustful woman, and she's suspected about even lying on an oath. So don't give her an oath, because what's going to help? She's going to lie anyways. So after Rava le shvua shekinek, this is what Rava did was, he went and although the halacha is that the one who's the defendant has to make the shvua, however, what he did is he turned the tables. And the claimant, he said that you swear that that this woman owes you money, and then you could collect. And that's based on the halacha and the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos that says that there are certain cases where, although generally it's the defendant that swears that they don't owe the money, that these would be nishban benaitlin, that they'll swear and they could collect, which is what's called shekenek de chashad al shvuah. If the defendant is anyway suspected regarding lying on the oath, so then we say that the claimant could go ahead and make the shvuah and collect. Now, zimnin, there was another time, at a later time, havayasvi kameh, that they were sitting in front of Rava, was Rav Papa, Rav Adbar Masna. And as they were sitting there, I saw hushtar gabe, so there was a certain document that came into the courts that a person wanted to collect with. So Rav Papa said to Rava, says, Yidana be dishtar periyahu, I know that this document that this person trying to collect with is already paid up already. So Amalei, so Rava said to Rav Papa, Ike ina shachrina bahadei demar, do you have at least another person with you that the halacha could be shnei edim? Because we need two witnesses to verify or invalidate something. So Amalei Lois said, no, I don't. It's only me that knows this. So Amalei, so Rava said to him, Avagav de'ikamar, although there's you, obviously you're a trustworthy person, but Eidech alav klumu, but one witness does not have validity in the courts. So Amalei, Rav Adbar Masna, the other Amori that was there, said to Rava, But v'lo yehi Rav Papa kabas Rav Chisda? Shouldn't Rav Papa be at least like the daughter of Rav Chisda, which meaning your wife, that you believed her to suspect the woman regarding the shvua and changed the basic halacha of having her swear and made you made chicken neg dechashal shvua? And here you go, and you just let this document go through the courts and be collected when you have Rav Papa saying that he knows that it was already collected with already before. So Rava answered, says, Bas Rav Chisda Kimli Begava. The daughter of Chisda, I know that she wouldn't lie. And therefore, based on what she said, I went and I switched around the Shavuos. Mar le Kimli Begave. However, a papa obviously is a trustworthy person, he's a Talmud Chacham, but I don't know for sure that he doesn't lie. In other words, so I can't base the halacha on just his testimony. Now, so Amra Papa, Rapapa, who he was the main point in this story. So he said, based on that, he says, Hashda Omamar Kimli Begave Milsi. Now that you, Rav, are saying that when someone says that I know what this person is saying is truth, that has substance in halacha, and we go based on that, as you did with your wife. So, Kagoin Abba Mori Bri. So, for example, my son Abba Mori, the Kimli Begave, that I know he never says a lie. So, Karana Shtar Pumi. So, based on your halacha, I would take a document and I would tear it up if he says that it's invalid and it was already paid up. So they go, I wonder, does Karana Salka Daidach, do you really think to say that he would tear it up? Can we go ahead and remove a signed document from the one who's holding it through one witness's testimony? But the problem is, even if he would never lie, it doesn't make a difference. Regarding removing money from someone, which is essentially what a document is that's signed with two witnesses, that it's like has its worth in money because it could be collected with, you need two witnesses. It wouldn't work with one witness. So rather what Rapapa was saying was, is Marana Shtara Apume, that he would downgrade the document based on what his son had said. In other words, he wouldn't allow it to be collected with. You're right, he wouldn't tear it, because tear it would be removing the money. So you're not removing the money, you still have your document, but he wouldn't let it go through to be collected with, again, based on the one witness's testimony, if you can use this concept of Kimli Begave. I know that this person is saying the truth, and therefore, although you're not going to be Maitzi Mammon, but even though it's one witness's testimony, they won't go allow it to be collected, or like in Rubber's case, they would switch the oaths from that woman to the claimant. Again, Hahi Itz, again, following on this thread of, there was this woman, that was obligated in an oath in the courts of Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. Now, amluhu hahu baldin. So her other disputant, the one that was claiming the money from her, who she was trying to swear and say that I don't. So he said to the courts, tesi v'tishta b'bemasa. I want that she should come and take the oath that she doesn't owe me money in our hometown. The reason being is, maybe she's going to be embarrassed. Everyone knows she's lying. Here in this, where the Besdin is, she's not afraid she'll say a lie. But let her come to our hometown, and then she's going to be embarrassed, and she won't make a false oath, and she'll admit it. So Amalahu, so she said to the court, she said, fine, I'll go back home and I'll make the oath. But Kisruli Zachfasa, I want that you should write for me a merit, meaning that when I come to court and I make that oath, that I will be exempt from this, what he's claiming from me, the chimish tabana, that when I make the oath, yavili, they'll give me what I need. So, Amalu Rabbi Barbaya, Kisbalas Rabbi Barbaya said, fine, okay, we could do what both of you are asking. She's agreeable to go back to your hometown to make the oath, but what we'll do now is what she had asked from us is that we already write that based on all our understanding of the courts, of the case, that we see that this is the final result of the halacha, she doesn't have to pay. All she has to do is make the oath, and then when she makes the oath, then she'll be done with. But we could write that document up right now. So on that, Amar Papi, Rav Papi asked on this psak halacha of Rabbi Bibi Rabbi. He says, "Meshum dasisu mimuloi." He says, "Because you come from truncated, from things that which are abridged. For example, meaning to say that they come from the house of Eli, who they live abridged lives. They live a short lives because that was the curse on base Eli that they die young." So you say also things that are also abridged, things that which are not fully true. Because Ha'amar Rava, Rava said, Hai asharta didaini. Asharta is from the term of strengthening, reaffirming. For example, the term that's commonly used of yashar kachacha, which is that there should be a strengthening of your strength. So that's a reference to the affirmation of a document which the judges write, and they write, B'maysef Talisa Havana, that we were a group of three judges, Vasa Plenty, and these people came in front of us, Vasida Chasima Yudari, and they testified that these are their signatures, and Vasharinu Bakaminu, and we went and we affirmed it, and we validated that this is a valid document. So Rabbi said, regarding such Asharta Dedaini, that if the judges write this thing, which is a stamp of approval that this is a good document, that they write, they write this asharta before the witnesses testify to them that said that this is our signatures. So they already wrote up the whole text because they knew these people are coming, but they didn't even come yet. But they wrote up, oh, we had this thing that these witnesses came and told us the whole thing. They're just waiting for them to come. And that Rava says, psula, such an asharta is actually invalid. Now, why would that be? I'm a mechzik shikri, because it looks like a lie. How could you write this when they never even said it yet? So therefore, he says it's invalid. They have to first say that these are our signatures, and then they could write up the text. So Hanami mechzik shikri. So therefore, asks Rav Papi, the same thing is here also. It also looks like a lie. How could they write in your court, Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, that this woman swore, and therefore she's exempt, and she didn't swear yet because she's only going to swear when she gets back to her hometown? That looks like a sheker. And therefore, this document that you're writing for her should be invalid, just like Rava says that Asharta is invalid. So I think Gemara says, no, Velasa. Rav Papi's taina is not a claim. Midr Rav Nachman, from the halacha, like we see by Rav Nachman, Dom Rav Nachman, like Rav Nachman says, Oy Mahayir Meir. Meir said, Afila Metzoy Ba'ashba, even if a get, a divorce document, is found in the garbage, which is, it already says the whole text of the document, for example, if they have the same names, the husband and the wife, they find the whole get there. Now, but that was just the text. It was written up the whole thing. The chas mubinas nula, and then after they take it out of the garbage, then they sign the witnesses, because the husband and the wife have the same names. And that Rameir says kosher. He says that's a valid get. Obviously, that is, we're not concerned that it looks like a lie, because how could you use this document? It was already written before they even found it, they even discovered it. Now, moreover, the Gemara says, even the Rabbanan that argue on Rameir, they don't argue on Rameir, which is in that case that they do argue and they say that that's an invalid get. That's Ela Begitei Nashim, that's because that's a unique halacha to divorce documents of women. The reason being is because the Be'inik Sivu Lishma. They argue on Rameir. Rameir holds that we only need Chasim Lishma, that the signatures have to be written for this man and this woman. Chum argue. And they hold that no, even the writing of the document has to be for this man and this woman, which obviously was not this case, because it was written with some other people that have the same exact names, which they didn't end up doing and they threw in the garbage. Then they found it. So the Chum say it's going to be possible in that case. Av Bishar Shtaris Maidulay, but regarding other documents, they would agree that even though it was written up the whole thing before, that it's going to be valid. Dam Rav Asi, remember Yechanan, like we see from Rav Asi, who said the name of Yechanan, the following halacha, which again will illustrate this same idea, that regarding other documents, even the Chacham would agree. Shtar Shalava Boy Uparoi. If a person has a document of a loan, which was paid up that same day, so on that Rav Yechanan said, Eino Chayze B'Laiva Boy. You can't go back and then do another loan with that same document, let's say for that same amount, even that same day, even though there's no problem, which generally it is, with what's called Shtar Muktim, which is, let's say there was a loan in February, and then in March he wants to borrow again, and it's the same amount, so to use the same document would be a problem, because that's a Shtar Muktim, which is, it's a predated document, because the loan now that's in March is using a document of February, which is a problem, because then you can go ahead and collect from the people that had purchased from the borrower in that after that date, which is incorrect for this loan. Now here you wouldn't have that problem because here it's actually in that same day of the loan is the date that it was written in the same document. So in spite of that, Rabbi Yechanan says, no, you can't do another loan with that same document again. And the reason being is because Shekvar Nimchal Shibudai. Because from the moment that the borrower of the document pays it up, it comes out that the Shibud, which are the liens that are on all his properties from the moment of that, when the document is written, is already forgiven. Because that loan, which was what the document was written for, was already paid up. Turns out that even if you do a loan on that same day, it's really an oral loan, and hence you wouldn't be able to collect from the Lekuches. So therefore, you can't go ahead and lend money with that same document. If you want to be able to be considered Milu B'Shtar, you would have to write a whole new Shtar. That's Rabbi Yechanan's halacha. But what the Gemara is proving from this halacha is that time of the nimchal shibudai. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan says you can't use that same document from that same day, which seemingly I lent him $100, he paid me back. 2 hours later, he comes back. No, I want to borrow $100 again. Okay, so just let's keep the same document. No, you can't, because that shibud was only for that loan. That's already machal. It's already forgiven, and therefore, even though a new loan, it's already neutralized. You wouldn't be able to use it. But that's the reason. Aval lemerzi, but as we can count on the base, kishikra, but regarding the concept of that it looks like a lie, because this document wasn't written for the second loan, even though, albeit on the same day, it was written for this first loan. And that we see from Yochanan, the loich ashinan, that we're not concerned for that. Unless if there's something that would totally nullify the document itself, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that it's nimchal shibudai, he wouldn't be concerned with that, and he would allow the second loan to be used on that same document. So again, obviously we see that there's no concern of mechzik shikram, and therefore what Rabbi Rabbi had done was valid for that woman, that although she didn't even swear yet, and they're writing already that she swore, you see obviously in halacha that that's not a concern, we're not concerned with this mechzik shikram, and therefore it's okay for them to write it now, even though she's only going to swear later. Now continuing on this theme of about Yedana Bey, like we see that Rava with his wife, Bas Rav Chizda, says, I know that this is the fact. We see that sometimes regarding judges in the court cases, that there's such a concept that they could say Yedana Bey, that we know that this is the fact, even though we don't have two witnesses. As the Gemara brings, Ahu Gava, there was a certain man, the Afkid Shav Marganisa, that it was deposited by him, 7 pearls, the Tzari Besadina, that was wrapped in a kerchief, which was in one cloth. Now, it was deposited by Beireb Miyasha Bar Bered Reb Shuban Levi. It was deposited by Reb Miyasha. Now, Shachav Reb Miyasha. Reb Miyasha died. V'loi pocket. And he didn't tell his family members, because he died suddenly, what to do with his estate. Now, Asla Kamed Rabami. So the people who were the claimants that claimed that these were their pearls came to collect from the inheritors. And the inheritors said that, we don't know. Maybe this is our father's pearls. So they came in front of the Rabbami to educate this court case. So Amalahu, he said to them, look, Chada, first of all, the Yedana Beber Miyasha Babered Reb Yishub Ben Levi, I know that Miyasha was not a wealthy person. So that's one reason to figure that it's not really his pearls, and it was from those who were deposited by him. Void, moreover, Hakayav Simana, those people who are claiming it's their pearls are giving a sign, a simon, that is theirs, which is that they said that it's 7 pearls that's wrapped in the cloth, and that's exactly what it was, and therefore it makes sense that it goes to them and it's not the inheritors. Now, however, the Gemara says, and this wasn't said, only if these people that are claiming that they deposited with their father, that they're not people that always would be visitors coming in and out of his house. But if these are people who are claiming that it's their pearls that are always in and out of Reb Miyasha's house, then we could actually say that maybe it was someone else that deposited, and we're not going to give it to them to take it away from the Yarshin, because maybe they just saw it there. They're always there, and they happen to see it. And now when the person died, they said, oh, it's ours. And of course, they could say a simon, because they saw it by his house, and therefore then it wouldn't work. Again, this is all based on the rationale of what's called this concept of Yedana Bey that we see by the Yonim. A similar incident, the Gemara says, Ahu Gavra, the Afkid Kasa the Chasba Bey Chasa. There was a certain man that deposited a silver cup by the house of Chasa. So Shachav Chasa, Balei Pocket. So Chasa died, and he died suddenly, as the Gemara says in Sech Tzivam, Esav Kavchav, Aleph Amabeis, that he drowned in the river, and he didn't tell his family members what is regarding his estate. So Asa Kamad Rav Nachman, so it became in front of Rav Nachman. So he said to them, same as the incident before. Yedana Bey b'chasa d'lo yamid. First of all, I know Chasa was not a wealthy person. It makes sense the silver cup was not his. Void, moreover, hakayav simana. The person that's claiming it is giving a simon. Now again, he gives the same disclaimer. D'lo yamid el d'lo yrogel d'ayl v'nafik l'chasam. This only if that person who's claiming it is not always coming in and out of the house. Avarogel d'ayl v'nafik l'chasam. Ema in the shachri nafkid. We could say that actually it was someone else that deposited. They were not going to award it to this person. V'yu mechzachazi. And he just happened to have seen it there. Now the Gemara brings the same thing a third time. Hahu da'afkid mitachzid. There was someone that deposited silk garments bei Rav Dimi achud Rav Safra, by the house of Rav Dimi, who was the brother of Rav Safra. Now, shach of Rav Dimi, b'lei pocket, Rav Dimi passed away, and he didn't tell what is his and what's not his. So they came in front of Rav Abba. So Amalhu, he said to them, Chada, first of all, and I know that Rav Dimi was not a wealthy person. But Oid, Hoko, you have someone that the person who's claiming is giving a simon. But again, that's only if they don't commonly come in and out. But if he commonly comes in and out, the im in the we could say that actually someone else was who deposited. And he just happened to have seen it there. And as the Rif brings, the reason why it says it three times is to say that this is a definitive concept in halacha. That's why it brings this type of a story three times, again, to illustrate this idea of how a judge can educate based on the logic of what he sees in the context of the case. Now, continuing on this theme of loy pocket, of when someone passed away and didn't say exactly what to do with his estate, so the Gemara says, Hahuda amalahu. There was someone that said to his family, which was his tzava, his commandment at the time of his death, he said, Nechosai l'tuvia. My estate, my property should go to tuvia. Now, he didn't say which tuvia. Shachavi passed away. So asa tuvia comes. So amr b'yechem, harepo tuvia came, tuvia takes. Now, however, the Gemara says, if Omar tuvia, if he said, tuvia gets my estate, v'asa rav tuvia, and rav tuvia comes. So on that, the Gemara says, l'tuvia Omar. He said that tuvia gets it, rav tuvia loy Omar. He didn't say it goes to rav tuvia. And therefore, it would be a tuvia that would get it, and not a rav tuvia. Now, however, but if this Rav Tovi is someone that he was old buddies with, or someone that he's comfortable with, then because he's comfortable with him, he calls him by his first name as if he wasn't a Rav, as if he wasn't a great rabbi, and therefore we could still give it to Rav Tovia, again, because he calls him Tovia, even though he's Rav Tovia. Now, also Shnei Tovia. What happens if two Tovias come? Shachin b'tamu chacham. One of them is a neighbor, and one of them is a Talmudic scholar. So that the Gemara says, Tamad Chacham Kaidim. So the one that we would award it to first is the Talmudic scholar. And the reason being is because we assume that a person wants to be meritorious at the time of death. And as the Gemara says in Sechas Brachas Daflam Adalam Abayz, that all the prophets, the only thing that they prophesized was for someone that gives benefit to Talmudic scholars from his estate. For Talmud Chacham themselves, no one has ever seen. But all the prophecies about how great things will be was only for someone that gives and is mehana Talmid Chacham. So obviously, it's a person at the time of his death wants to give to a Talmudic scholar. So it makes sense that if he said to give it to Tovia, it's for the Rav Tovia and not for the neighbor. Karve Talmud Chacham. Let's say one of them is a neighbor, one of them is a Talmudic scholar. Again, Talmud Chacham Kaidim. Again, we assume it's for the Talmud Chacham. Ibailu, however, they had the following question. Shachin Bekarv Mai. What's the halacha if one of them is a neighbor and one of them is a relative? Which tovi did he mean? So Tashma, the Gemara brings from the pasuk in Mishlei that says toiv shachin karev. It's better a close neighbor mi'ach rochik from a distant brother, and therefore it actually makes sense that he was giving it to the neighbor and not to his distant relative. Now shneim karevim. What do you do if both of tovias are relatives? Shneim shchenim. Let's say both of them are neighbors. Shneim chacham. Both of them are Talmudic scholars. So the Gemara says what's called shudda d'daini. Shudda d'daini basically means to say that it's based on the judges, on what they see. That is, I mean, the word shadi means to throw. So the way they're shooting, that it's their draw, if they see that, well, yeah, this person who passed away, he was better friends with this tovi than the other one, or who's a better person to say that, obviously, the one who passed away wanted to give it to this righteous person. And therefore, they use their logic, what's called Shudda D'daina, to decide which one it is, because there's no external proofs to verify which one was it that he meant when he said Tovia. Amli Rava Lebrei D'Rav Chir Bar Avin. Rava said to the son of Chir Bar Avin, he says, Ta, Eimelach Milsam Al Yusud Hava Ama Ovach. He says, come in here, I'm going to tell you this, one of the beautiful halachic teachings that your father said. Says Hada Amar Shmuel, this that Shmuel said, Hamoicher Shtar Choyv L'Chaveiro. If someone sells a document of a debt to his friend, which means to say that there was money owed to him, he has a deed that he could collect with, and he sells it to his friend, V'Chazar, and then the seller of the document, who he's the lender, goes and he's Umachloi, he forgives the loan which was owed to him by the borrower. So that Shmuel said Machl. It actually is amnesty. It will forgive the loan. And hence, now the borrower could tell the purchaser of the document, says, "You, I have nothing to do with you because the loan that I owed was forgiven by the lender." Now, moreover, the filly Yairish, even the inheritors of the malva, of the lender, they could be Michael. They could also forgive the loan. And therefore, although there was a document which was authenticating the loan, and that was sold to someone else to collect with that, but since the lender forgave it, it's forgiven, and now he can't use anything with that document. However, on that, your father added and said that Maida Shmuel would admit and agree that there is a situation where the person cannot just forgive the document. And that is B'machnesa Shtar Chayv Labala. That's when a woman brings into her marriage to her husband as one of her nichsi milug, which is a document of money that's owed to her. And then after she's married, v'charzu machlasa, then she goes and she forgives it. She's like, okay, I'm married, I'm happy, forget it, I'll just forgive it. She'ena machl. There, it's not forgiven. And the document that's now that's brought into the marriage, which the husband has a relationship with this document too, that the woman cannot forgive it. And the reason being is b'nei she'yada k'yada. Because his hand is like her hand, meaning, as we learned in previous dafim, he's an equal partner in her nichsi milug. And therefore, although one of the partners wants to forgive it, she cannot forgive it because the husband can hold back on that. And therefore, in such a case, although Shmuel said that someone that's even sold the document could go ahead and forgive it, here, where she, on some level, like, sold it to her husband because the husband has rights in the nichsi milug, she can't even sell it because he's more than just a purchaser. He's like an equal partner in the nichsi milug as his wife. Now the Gemara continues with the following incident that happened with Kariv Seder of Nachman. And it's specific, as we'll see in the story, that there was a relative of Rav Nachman that zvinta liksubasa, that she sold her kesuba, meaning she was still married, so she didn't collect her kesuba yet, but she sold the obligation, the lien of her kesuba, which is that at a future time it will have some value when it could be collected. She sold those rights to somebody else. And she sold the b'teves ana, which literally means to say for a small amount of money, which is just like a token amount. And the reason being is because the one who's purchasing the ksuba is really taking a risk. And the reason being is because if she dies before her husband, so the purchaser is afraid that he's not going to collect anything because the ksuba is only collected if the husband dies, then the woman collects as a widow, or if she gets divorced. But if she dies during her husband's life, then he's not going to be able to collect anything. So therefore, he paid just a small amount on that risk, on that chance that the husband will die first. Now, igarsha v'shchiva. Now, she was divorced, and thus that gives the rights of the ksuba. And then shchiva, then she passed away. So the purchaser of the ksuba came and ketavale librata. He came to collect from the daughter of the woman who passed away, because the daughter herself was coming to collect her mother's ksuba from her father and to inherit the ksuba because of her mother. Meaning when the mother got divorced, then the mother really could go ahead and collect her ksuba. Then the mother passed away. But it's the mother's right. So the daughter of the mother was coming to collect from her father the mother's ksuba that she should take for herself. But now the collectors were coming and they wanted to go to the daughter and say that, no, your mother sold us the ksuba and therefore we want to go ahead and collect it. So Rav Nachman said to the people, Leka de Lisvala Eitza, is there nobody that could give counsel for my relative? Where here she is, that she just wants to collect her mother's ksuba, and then these collectors who her mother sold it just for a small amount of money for pennies, and now they're going to go ahead and collect her ksuba, and the daughter's not going to get it? So now the Gemara continues on top of Peivav and Aleph. So they said, Tezel v'tichel l'ksubasa de'im l'gabe avua. So Rav Nachman said, let her go. Be Michael, and this is where it's related to the previous Gemara, let her forgive her mother's ksuba to the father. As we said, even the Yairish, even the inheritor of a debt, could forgive it. And this mother of this daughter had sold her shtarchai, which is what a ksuba essentially is, which she had a document on that was owed to her by her husband. She sold it to the other people. And the daughter could be Michael that shtarchai. Then v'tir siminei. Then she'll inherit from her father her mother's ksuba. So they won't lose that money because now the collectors are out to lunch because they can't go ahead and collect from anyone because even the liyarish of the one who sold it could forgive it. So she heard about this, which Rav Nachman said, and Oslachilta, she went, she forgave her father, So the father now didn't owe it to the mother because even the yerusha of the mother could forgive it. And now there's no more debt. And even though it was sold by the mother, they can't collect anything. So Amar Rav Nachman said, "Oy, asinu atzmenu ka'arche adayan. We made ourselves like lawyers, like relatives of the litigants, or like those who love one of the litigants who's coming to the judges, and the oirich means to say that he prepares their proofs and their claims for the one that he likes. He's trying to make sure that they win, and they'll do whatever it takes to win. So he says, I did the same thing. I gave counsel for my relative to cause a loss to the other litigant who essentially had a really good claim because they really bought the ksuba from the mother. So the Gemara wonders, Mei Kara, originally when Rav Nachman said this idea, Maisava, what was his opinion? Why do you think it's a good idea to give counsel for his relative? Ulbisaif, and at the end, when he had regret that he did that, Maisava, what did he hold then? So the Gemara explains, Mei Kara Sav, originally he thought, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Umabsarcha Loita Salem, that one should not turn the blind eye from their relatives. And therefore I thought that it's my obligation to help out my relative to give her good counsel, that she should win, that she shouldn't have to shell out and lose her mother's ksuba by the collectors. Well, the Seif Sava, but at the end, when he had regret, he thought, Adam Chashav Shami, a respectable person like Rav Nachman is different. And therefore, because people are going to learn from me, and they're going to say, oh, you see Rav Nachman, he was like a lawyer. He helped someone win with a chop type of a claim and make a really legitimate claim of the collectors to be lost. And then people are going to do it even for non-relatives. And then it's already there's no heter for that really, because there's no b'msar chal tesalam. And therefore he felt that even for his relative, he should not have done that. Now Gemara says, Gufa, we mentioned before that Amar Shmuel says, which is what this previous incident was based on, if someone sells a document to his friend, meaning to say, if a lender that has a deed sells it to someone else, and then he actually forgives the loan that the deed was based on, so machal, it's actually forgiven. And then yerush machal, and even the inheritor of that lender could forgive it. Now, however, Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rishu, he says, if the purchaser of that loan document was smart, mekarkush leizuze, which literally means that he would shake coins, he would go to the borrower, and v'kosav leishtar b'shmei, he would bribe him to write a document in his name. In other words, before the lender goes and it gets in cahoots with the borrower and says, look, I sold this. I know I lent you money, but I'm not going to collect the money anyway from you because I sold the document to someone else. You know what we'll do? I'll forgive the loan, so he won't be able to collect with it. And because I'm forgiving, I'll get some kickbacks. You'll give me some of that. Now, so if the purchaser of the loan was smart, he would go ahead and go to the borrower and say, look, you owe the money. He doesn't know that the lender would ever forgive on it because he was a legitimate sale. He sold it to this lekach. But he goes to the borrower beforehand and he says, look, I'll pay you a certain amount of money. Write for me that now you owe me the money because you actually do. You see, I have the deed. And then it's unavoidable that he's not going to be able to forgive it anymore because although the malva will be forgiving, but the lev already wrote that he owes the lekach now the money. Now, moreover, one more idea of this gemara, Amar Meimer, he says, man de doim, a judge that judges, meaning that would make a liability of what's called dina de garmi, for someone that only caused a loss to his friend, which is that, of course, if someone damages somebody, he's got to pay him. But let's say it was just caused indirectly. So that's actually a machlekes. So on that, a maimer says, according to the one that is doing dina de garmi, that holds someone liable for an indirect causation of damage to someone else, then magvi bay, then he would cause a collection of this document from the one who forgave it, meaning the lekach, from the malva, demeshtar malya, the full value of the document. In other words, whatever the loan was, whatever the debt was in that document, which was sold by the malva to the lekach, which now the malva forgave to the leva, that now the lekach cannot collect from the leva anymore. So the judge would make the malva have to pay that to the lekach because he sold him that amount in that document. But man deloy doin din de garmi. But according to those who do not judge it, just causation type of cases, which this is machlekes and Baba Kama in the last parakand of Kafta Zayin and Beis, where Remeya holds that we do judge din de karmi, as the Gemara brings there in the Brisa, and actually that's how the halacha is, as Rashi says. So then, but those who hold that you're not doing din de karmi, magve bei dimei niyur ba'ama. The only thing the judges could collect with it is just the value of a paper itself. In other words, which Rashi says, the only thing he really sold him was paper. and you have the paper. Now, although the paper has something of it, which is a loan, but now that I forgave it, I didn't take away the paper. I sold you the paper. You have the paper. I just caused you a loss by forgiving the loan. And that's dina de garmi, and that there's no liability in enforcing by the judges to pay for the dina de garmi. And therefore, he's not going to have to pay the lekeach anything. However, the Gemara concludes, Hava uvdi, there was such an incident with such a dina de garmi. V'kafyer Rafam l'Rav Ashi, and Rafam forced Rav Ashi. In other words, because this court case came in front of Rav Ashi, and Rafram went and came with so many proofs and rayas, so he essentially forced Rav Ashi, the Agvi Bey, and he caused Rav Ashi to collect based on this principle of Dina Degarmi, Kikeshur Lutzalmi. In other words, a full collection. And every cent that was being lost now by the Lekach, he made him, now the Malva who had sold it to him, pay up to the Lekach, which is like as precise as a purchaser of a beam, who when he's purchasing the beam, because he wants to engrave images on that, where he makes sure that it's very smooth and very straight, that's how precise he was to make Rav Ashi collect every last penny for the Meicher who forgave the loan to the Leiva, that he has to pay that up now to the Lekach, because he held of Dina de Garmi, which is that if someone just caused damages indirectly, he's still liable, and therefore, though it's actually a forgiveness of the loan, and therefore Lekech cannot collect from the Leiva, but now he could collect from the Malva. Now, this is the interpretation of Rashi, although there's a big discussion in the Rishayim, which is known in the sugya of Kroma and Garmi, that there are discrepancies, but the basic outline of Rashi's interpretation is that it's always the same, and therefore, the way that Gemara is interpreted on Rashi is that it's just an indirect cause of someone else, which again is a machlekes, if you're doing the garmi or not, and that's what the Gemara says, that if he is doing the garmi, then he is going to be able to collect from the malva, even though he cannot collect from the leiva.